Meeting of the HTC Audit Committee meeting to order, and I note the presence of a quorum. First item on the agenda. Do I have a motion? Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. The agenda items?
Sure. Thank you. We'll start with Mary John presenting the first quarter financial report. A little clue, it was great. Really strong quarter, something where the corporation continues to perform extraordinarily well. Then Ellen will provide the debt and investment report, and then Mary will do her usual credit risk exposure, and then she'll be doing requesting approval of the internal audit charter, some changes to that, and then internal audit reports as well.
Next item is the first quarter financial report, even though we now have a glimpse of the
This is so good.
Good morning, everybody. I'm pleased to present the corporation's unaudited financial statements for the first quarter of fiscal year 2019. I will provide a brief update of the corporation's financial activities, which summarizes the more detailed information in the audit committee package. The corporation had total revenues of $180 million in the first quarter of the fiscal year, an increase of $27 million from a year ago. This comprised of $142.4 million of operating revenues and $37.6 million of non-operating revenues, primarily from investment earnings. Total operating expenses were $107 million, up from $88.8 million a year ago. Bond interest together with bond issuance costs made up 89% of the corporation's total operating expenses. Among the other financial activities of the corporation for the first quarter was the issuance of 70 bond series for a total of $483.2 million. HTC also closed two government debt obligation funding loan agreements for $198 million, which will be funded on a drawn down basis. In the first 3 months of the fiscal year, HTC closed 11 new senior mortgages with loan commitments in excess of $433 million. Two Michelama preservation loans were also restructured with commitments of $121.9 million. The corporation also committed $91.6 million in subsidies from its corporate reserves. At the end of the first quarter, HTC's total assets were at $19.9 billion, an increase of $544.3 million, or 2.81% from fiscal year end 2018. This increase was mainly due to the $482.2 million increase in the mortgage loan portfolio, an $84.3 million increase in cash investments from fiscal year end 2018. Total liabilities were at $17 billion, an increase of $471.5 million, or 2.85% from fiscal year end 2018. The increase was mainly due to the corporation's bond issuance activities. HTC had net income of $72.9 million, as Rich said, for the first quarter of fiscal year 2019, up from $33.2 million a year ago. Net position at the end of the first quarter was $2.9 billion. This concludes my remarks. If anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Any questions? Maybe we should take advantage of the IPO fever. next item is the debt report, Ellen.
Okay, thank you. The corporation debt report is as of February 28th, 2019. The last debt report presented to the audit committee was as of December 31st, 2018. During this time, the corporation issued two series of open resolution bonds, amount of $110 million, the market of one series of standalone bonds, amount of $54.6 million, and issued one series of standalone bonds, a par amount of $4.4 million. There were bond redemptions and three series of open resolution bonds, the amount of $121.6 million and two series of standalone bonds, the amount of $54.9 million. Corporation's debt outstanding as of February 28, 2019 is approximately $11.8 billion, and the corporation's statutory debt capacity stands at $13.5 billion. Questions?
The $13.5 billion got it for the year, or?
No, we're contemplating a request to increase that depending on the timing Usually we kind of go in after the budget is done, or before June. So in all likelihood, this is going to be steadily going up, as you know.
Yeah.
Any concerns at the agencies about any update or any change in terms of outlook on HPC at the agencies?
Oh, the rating agencies?
I just got a phone from them. Like, no, it's a very positive outlook.
Have they published the most recent ICR?
I've not seen it.
Yeah, no, we've seen the draft. It's a very positive report.
Yeah.
So the rating is expected to be confirmed.
Right.
Investment report.
The corporation investment report is as of March 21st, 2019. Funds under management totaled roughly $5.6 billion. And this report reflects routine investment
activity.
I have a question. So the yield curve is relatively inverted.
Right.
How does that impact, like, how do you take advantage of that?
It's an interesting thing. Our investment in earnings generally have gone up because the short-term rates went up and because we invest relatively short. And actually, Mary will tell us what our average investment term is. It's on the short side. So right now, we're benefiting from that. And the inversion itself is a discouragement from going further out on the curve. The actual muni bonds that we issue are actually still upward yielding. So our market is performing pretty well as well. And so our cost of capital is going down because rates as a whole on the long end have come down. So that's a positive for us. And since we invest short, that's also because short-term investments are relatively high compared to where they were during the financial crisis. We're sort of in a sweet spot,
right.
And that's partly, you know, Mary kind of expressed that our investment income has gone up significantly. At the same time, we also have a lot more money that we're investing. The city tends to lend through us now, so that has enabled us to also revolve that money better because of the earnings stay here, and then we put it back out.
So you're borrowing on the long end, investing on the short.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
We also see many more GICs provide, as rates moved up a little bit, you know, more GIC providers provide us with a constant interest rate on our bond proceeds, which is helpful. And then a lot of the different banks have collateralized money market accounts, and they're looking for funding money, and they give us very good rates.
So the average rate of our investment returns now on the open resolution is about 2.7. And our long-term debt will go out at about 3.7. So it reduced the negative arbitrage. It's been a very positive thing in a lot of ways. But that might change. And rates may come back down. We adjust as we always should. Yeah, we meet biweekly to review our investment situation. Ellen and me and the rest of the capital markets team and our investment cash management team. So we review it pretty constantly, and then we provide you with updates on what
we need to do. We also have outside advisors in this.
We do and we don't. We do work through brokers and the like, but we don't have a specific FA, financial advisor, for us. Depending on the smarts of the people in this room, who were pretty good at it and had a pretty proven track record. But we engage with the market quite a bit. We have brokers coming in and we talk to them. Right, exactly. And so, and Lisa, who heads the cash management group, is in constant discussion with brokers and dealers.
Right,
we discuss
with, but we also make the decision. They don't really advise, they provide information for them.
Research and that. So we need to sign different letters. We don't,
they're not advising.
Yeah.
The credit risk exposure, right?
Thank you. There are no new additions to the approved list of counterparties, but there were two credit rating agency actions of note. In February, Moody's upgraded Citibank to AA3 from A1, citing the bank's successful execution of its multi-year strategy to simplify operations, reduce its global consumer footprint, and pursue sustained growth. And subsequent to the date of this report, earlier this month, Moody's upgraded Bank of America to AA2 from AA3 due to the bank's strengthened profitability and enhanced earnings diversification. Our counterparty exposure remains pretty well diversified, with Fannie Mae continuing to be our largest exposure, followed by Freddie Mac. Investments rated AA or higher were 50% of total investments versus 52% at the last report. And as Rich mentioned, our weighted average maturity was 1.8 years versus 1.7. Finally, our exposure to liquidity providers was approximately $159 million. That concludes my counterparty.
You guys have any concerns that you have to consider regarding this, or is it kind of wall from most of what else we do?
Yeah, the investments, we did have a gift with them that matured. But right now, we don't have any investments with them. There is one standalone deal that they're holding our bonds. But other than that, I don't think we have anything.
That's it.
How does the Trump calling for the end of conservatorship with Fannie Mae, how does that affect, given that they're our largest? It'd be good to know. Like, even if you haven't thought about it, it'd be good to know.
No, we've definitely been thinking about it in the last week, or the last 2 days when he said come out with that executive report. I'm not certain what that does per se. The debt that has been issued obviously has the support of the U.S. government. And if that were to change, then I would hope that it wouldn't, it would be incredibly disruptive to capital markets if that were to change in a deleterious way. I mean, we're a relatively small holder compared to other folks. The total amount of their debt securities is, I think it's about $7.5 trillion. So it's an enormous amount. And so whatever gets done needs to be done in a way that doesn't disrupt all capital markets. And then as far as a credit enhancer, all of those agreements will be subsumed one way or another, depending on how they move forward. They are, most of the credit enhancements are in conduit transactions. There are some that are done in the open resolution. And in some instances, we even replace them. And if we need to, we will. The conduit deals are a different concern, but we would deal with it as we need to at the time. But it's just like, every now and then there's a new bomb that gets thrown up. It's like, okay, we'll see what happens. The question about what's going to happen to the GSEs going forward has been out there since 2009. And so I think it continues to be a little bit of a hot potato. It's definitely something that we'll continue to follow. It's very important to both the single family and multifamily mortgage market, but just the general capital market. So it needs to be done right. And I would be very surprised if it can be done by fiat.
Internal audit charter. Thank you.
So the memo before you outlines four proposed recommendations from the quality assessment review that was presented to the audit committee on January 26, 2018. The last time the audit committee reviewed and approved the internal audit charter was December 2nd, 2015. The QAR outlined the following four recommendations. One was to update the charter language to incorporate revised standards as outlined in the Institute of Internal Auditors, or the IIA's International Professional Practices Framework. We accepted and incorporated that recommendation under the section titled Professional Standards on page 2 of the charter. The second recommendation was to define the term consulting services. We accepted and incorporated that recommendation under the section titled Responsibility on page 1 of the charter. The third recommendation was to add language outlining when the charter will be reviewed and approved. We accepted and incorporated that recommendation on the bottom of page 2 of the charter. We will review and approve, seek your approval on a periodic basis at least once every 5 years, or as needed upon change in the audit committee chair, change in internal audit department reporting, or change in IIA standards. The fourth and final recommendation was to consider adding appropriate signatures to the document, agreement. We declined that recommendation as we felt that agreement is already documented in the audit committee minutes whenever the charter is presented to and approved by the audit committee. If there are any questions, your approval is requested at this time.
Well, since there are no questions, I move to approve the audit, internal audit charter revisions. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And report.
Thank you. Before you are three reports that were complete under the direction of Shirley Jarvis, who retired, as you will recall, back in December. I will give you a brief overview of the objectives and the results of each of those audits. The full reports are in your packets. First up is the 2018 Developer Disclosure Report. The objective there was to determine whether the disclosure process was performed for a new construction project. And our result was that we noted no matters involving internal controls that we considered weaknesses. Disclosure was performed for the required individuals and entities for the new construction projects which closed during the audit scope period. The second audit is the 2018 investment audit. The objective there was to determine the effectiveness of internal controls over investment activity to provide reasonable assurance that investment transactions were in accordance with HDC investment guidelines, policies, procedures, and laws and regulations. Investment transactions were properly and accurately executed by the cash management staff and authorized by the appropriate cash management supervisors, and investments were reconciled to the general ledger cash accounts by the accounting division. The result there was that we noted no matters involving internal control and its operation that we considered material weaknesses. Investment transactions were in accordance with HPC investment guidelines, policies, procedures, and laws and regulations. Our audit sample showed that investment transactions were properly and accurately executed by cash management staff and authorized by the appropriate cash management supervisors. And finally, we determined that investments were reviewed and reconciled to the general ledger cash accounts by the accounting division. The third audit report before you is the 2018 IT third-party vendor management audit. The objective there was to determine if the IT department is effectively managing vendor contracts related to security, statement of work, and service level agreements. Our result there was that we noted no matters involving internal controls and, that we considered material weaknesses. IT contracts generally cover data security, statement of work, service level agreements, and data confidentiality of subcontractors. We did make one observation and recommendation. HDC does not currently have cyber insurance in place, and internal audit recommends that management consider purchasing a cyber insurance policy to mitigate the risk of data breaches and offset the associated costs. Management response was that although HDC has implemented multiple layers of security, including data protection, intrusion prevention, and network monitoring, management will reinitiate the review of cyber insurance options available and engage with a cybersecurity consulting firm and insurance broker for advice on appropriate coverage and options. That completes my report. Are there any questions?
Any other business? There being no other business, I would like to call for motion to adjourn.
Thank you.